Oh, it worked.
Hello. Oh, there we are.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what's going on. It just was hanging there for quite some time. Technical difficulties.
Well, that's what these first ones are for, aren't they?
Yes, very good. So this is officially the second one because the first one didn't work.
True, but the first one's going to be very disappointing. So are we live right now? Are we live?
We're live.
Oh, well, we got a pickup there on aisle one. Very good. It's good that it's my podcast, and I'm asking you, my first guest, how it works. But that's what this episode is all about.
Very good. So we do the introduction?
Of course. Well, you know me. Our voices might sound a little similar sometimes. But this is the Sean Veek Fitness Podcast. I don't know if that's going to be the official name yet, but we still have a few things to work out. But I thought, you know, let's get started. Let's start interviewing and talking and getting dialogues going right away. And my first guest, some of you may know him. I know I've referenced him before in my videos and stuff, but this is I'd say my best friend, but I have two best friends. The other one's Peter. I don't want to get Peter's wrath because we probably want to get him on the podcast sometime.
But we should just point it out.
True.
Arm wrestle.
Well, we do a plank. I mean, we'll do it, you know, Sean Veek Fitness style, plank off or something with burpees.
Oh.
So we've been talking about this for a long time. So my guest today, this is Stefan. Do you want your last name on there?
Sure.
Okay, let's just... We're getting crazy. We're going to do Stefan Severson. That's where you would have applause right there. And Stefan's one of my best friends. I've known him since first grade, I believe. And as long as we've been talking about podcasts or I've been thinking about it, we've always discussed it together because you are the one who's really responsible for helping me go from making that big leap from teaching live classes and then really taking it to the next level, meaning, you know, videos and podcasts and apps and pretty much any other technical thing that came up, you were always right there. So this, what we want to do today for the first episode is to discuss pretty much that time period where we started with the videos. But I mean, who knows where the conversation will go? I want the podcast to be pretty casual. Definitely. And spontaneous.
Yeah. Like Han says, fly casual. Always.
Yeah, I just had Star Wars on too.
Very good. Yeah, well, I think the journey starts when you talk about making the transition from teaching fitness physically at locations to either digital or being online, have a presence. It was 2009. You reached out to me. You were living in Florida at the time, and I'm still in Milwaukee. And you were really jazzed. You had went in, I don't know if it was a client of yours or if it was just a mutual friend that you went out and you saw her studio in her garage and she was making some videos and you're like, I want to do that. How do I get started? What do we do? And we just started, like, you know, having 2 to 3 hour conversations on the phone about, I guess, how to harness any technology you could go to Best Buy or a Walmart and walk back home with and, put it online. And, so that was really the start of it. You really came to me with a request, and man, that's right in that's my sweet spot. I love that stuff. I've always bought technology, but it never had a purpose. You know, I just bought it, used it, and then resold it or returned it or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So sell it on Craigslist. That's right.
Right. I finally had a purpose. Well, I have a lot of good stories about selling stuff on Craigslist because you meet so many interesting people, but that's a whole podcast in itself. But that really is how your journey kind of started, the transition journey for you. So, and it's hard to, it's almost 10 years. That's crazy.
I know. It's like a workout. I'm home now, but I was out filming, and at the end of the video, I just filmed. It's a new Pilates video from upcoming 30-day Pilates challenge. But I was saying that I'm like, the time just goes so quickly, and especially I think in the fitness world, it's very focused. Movement, for some reason, the perception of time with movement, it seems to go very quickly. That woman's name was Carol. I just remembered that because we spoke about this before, but I could not remember her name. Carol was a client of mine when I taught at Gold's Gym and Dr. Phillips, and she did videos out of her garage. And as you said, I really didn't know much at that time. Well, how do you do videos? We had done home videos, you know, growing up. I did them, you did them, we did them together, lots of home videos. So there was a know-how there, and we were very natural with that. But I went to her house, and it was in her stuffy, warm garage, and she had like some kind of backdrop and a stool you'd sit on. It was like you were posing for your high school senior photo. And she filmed me talking a little bit, and then she couldn't figure out how to upload it and all that stuff. Oh, but then the issue was, is that it was too technical, and you recommended I go with Apple stuff.
Right. Well, at the time, so in preparing for this podcast, I thought back to 2009, what technology was available at the time and what were people used to? And the iPhone was around. It was the second version of the iPhone. And in 2009, we finally got video on iPhone. So there was no shooting video with your phones. Mm-hmm. It was a smartphone, but you couldn't shoot a video. So that really, no one really had any familiarity with like shooting and posting right from the phone. So you had to do some post-production. You had to take it from a device and put it on a computer. And since you didn't have a computer, I'd always given you computers.
Ubuntu.
I used to work at a bank, and I always take these refurbished computers and give them to you. But you really couldn't do with anything with them except for browse the web. You couldn't produce video or anything or render anything. So I started doing a lot of research and like went into all these great like cameras that I would get really technical with. And I'm like, I had to rethink it. I'm like, what's the simplest camera for what we want to capture here and get it to a computer? I went to a Best Buy and I saw this camera with one button on it. I'm like, that's it. I'm like, yep. Where's everything else? It was called the Flip. And yep. I'm like, Sean, go get this camera. And I didn't even really have to tell you anything about it. There's one button and
big red button. Where's the button? It's like the one in Willy Wonka in the elevator. Yeah. Just one big red button.
And you plug
it in. Zoom, you're off.
And zoom. slant ways, of course. But yeah, you plugged it in. You had bought a MacBook Pro from Best Buy, and that was a big purchase for you. Very excited. And we had the Flip, and then you had, you know, which tripod to use and all that stuff. And then you were worried about the mic, but the Flip was such an amazing device for a couple $100. And the quality was fantastic. You go back to some of those videos you produce, like beginner's yoga, sunrise yoga, right? Or some of those first ones. It's so good. I mean, all you do is you go out in a field or somewhere in Florida and point the camera at you and go. And it was such a, man, like yesterday I was talking about 1985 with Back to the Future when he goes back in time in the 50s. Mm-hmm. And he says, Doc Brown's looking at the movie camera. He's like, this is amazing. A portable video studio, you know, in your hands, you know, and think, no wonder why your president has to look good all the time on the TV. Be an actor, right?
He's on camera all the time.
Uh-huh. He's on camera all the time. It's so genius to have this little device. But now everybody takes it for granted because everyone has an iPhone or a smartphone that takes 4K video. But back in 2009, you just didn't have it. So hooray for the Flip. I think, you know, you owe a lot to the Flip and how simple it was. And
the Flip was,
you didn't get frustrated. You know, we never got frustrated with taking video and editing it and putting iMovie made it effortless. It was super easy to do. It was just getting it online or making a DVD that posed a bit of our challenge.
Yeah. I'm very loyal to the technology that works for me. I know a lot of my friends who are in the business too, who shoot videos and workouts and, you know, online stuff, they upgrade a lot, or they'll drop, you know, thousands of dollars for a camera. And I mean, those cameras are gorgeous, but the Flip, it was like a switchblade on the side. The USB port would boom, pop out, and you plug it right in the back of your computer. And even my dad, you know, my dad would get really confused by if it was too technical. He loved it. The big red button. I'm like, Dad, you frame me. I'll frame it in the screen. There's a you know, view screen on the Flip. Just push the red button to start. And when you want to stop it, you push it again.
I know. Your dad was always had things all over your house with like a piece of paper, masking tape. And he would take a red pen and, you know, write things on it. So it was perfect for him to have just a red button.
It was red. I mean, you know, he really, I mean, on his keyboard, you know, at their house, he would put red, he put masking tape and then put a red magic marker on the return. I think the return key and the shift.
return, shift, and escape. Like he was some kind of like hacker or something.
Exactly. Just so, you know, so he didn't push the wrong button and everything explodes. It's like War Games or something. But yeah, you know, the flip had a, they did an update then. I use a GoPro now. I mean, that's a whole nother discussion. You turn me on to the GoPros, but I would probably be still using flips because weren't they were bought out.
Well, not to get too technical, but Cisco bought them after about 3 or 4 years of really good sales. And this happened with GoPro too. They didn't get bought out, but you went back to, I don't follow the trends and I'm not chasing technology. You got a little excited. Was it last year? And we were like, oh, I have a GoPro, but can we do better? You know, let's get into this, you know, maybe 4K content or just a little bit better. I'm like, well, the GoPro 5 is going to be on sale.
No, the 6.
Right, the 6 was coming out, but I think the 5, I'm like, don't buy the 5 because the 6 is coming out. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, you went and got the 6, and then the 6 you couldn't even use with your iMac, some new codec or something. So we got in the weeds on that one. I think we just figured it out. You went back to the 5, and then we had to do a whole thing with microphone sensitivity. So it got a little technical. I kind of wish it went back to the flip days, but that just didn't exist.
I know. Well, they did the update with the flip, and it had image stabilization, and it's so tiny. I mean, the GoPro is actually smaller, but you have the protective case. But the flip, from a distance, it looked like a little wallet or maybe a little piece of chocolate for some reason. And I like that little switchblade thing you plug in the computer. And, you know, I used to do DVDs. I filmed videos and, you know, I ripped them myself. I had second parties who would duplicate hundreds of them for me because I used to sell them like around the world. Even my Pilates for Men DVD, which won some awards with Pilates Style Magazine, that was filmed with that beautiful old flip camera.
Yeah, and to elaborate on the burning DVDs, we ran into a guy in Celebration, Florida, Big Al, and he was he was promising 30,000 sales. And I remember you called me; you were so excited but confused. You're like, "How long would it take us to make 30,000 DVDs?"
And this is the La C drive. So each DVD took me probably, you know, to
45
rip it.
Minutes.
Rip it and then put a little. You know, put some graphics on it too, and then get the case and get the little slip for the case. Each one would take probably about 20, 30 minutes. I remember I'd go back to my office in the back of the house, you know, start that, then go up in front, work on something else, and just keep walking back and forth. It's like, oh, let me check on that boiling kettle. Okay, it's not done yet. I have to come back later. But I know you really want to talk about Al because I've worked with I've had some really good luck. At the time, it can be kind of annoying, but I've worked with some people that you learn a lot from, and they're characters. They're kind of like Seinfeld characters or somebody on The Simpsons. I think The Simpsons would definitely make a character after, you call him Big Al now, so I guess that's his name, Big Al. And, you know, I met with him, and that was the thing. I had started selling DVDs, and they were selling pretty well. I had my own ways to market them. And his big idea was, he just said, I'm going to sell 30,000 by the end of the year. And it was already summer. 30,000 DVDs by the end of the year. And
we're going to get a white van and hit the pavement. He never really had the plan on how.
It's like the ice cream man, but with all, what do you want, Pilates for Men or, you know, Klondike bar.
Exactly.
That was
and
a
then
pretty
I
good
think
effort.
Around this time, this was like 2010, 2011, when you had the whole making the video, producing the video, you had that down. Now it was about like, how to get it out.
Distribution.
Distribution. And I remember you meeting with all kinds of people that either whether it was an online presence and having like a video, a distribution channel through a website or to have a digital storefront.
Oh, I just remembered that.
You had all these meetings with people and you come back and they're like, they want 30% of the company. You're like, what?
That's like, right. Yeah, I just remembered two more. Remember I met with those, they're real nice, but I think they worked at Gold's Gym where I used to teach. I already mentioned that, but they wanted to do kind of a subscription service. This was probably back in like 2010, 2011. And what was the issue with that? I'm like, what? You know, everything was going okay, but I think they wanted a massive cut.
They wanted a cut, and I think they wanted part of the company or part of the rights to it or something.
They might have.
Yeah, I think they wanted rights to it. And then, and I think around this time, we were dabbling with, you weren't on YouTube yet. This was before YouTube. And then you were
When I met with them, I was starting to have some good success on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, that's where we're thinking, okay, it's expanding, it's working. I have a hunger to take it somewhere else. And also, you know, you want to, if you're going to spend so much time on something, you know, 40, 50, sometimes 60 hours a week, it can really suck you in having your own fitness brand. You want to monetize things. You're like, okay, I have all this stuff. How do I monetize it? You know, so everyone gets a good deal and I get some, you know, I get some payment for all this work. And another thing too about this couple that I met with, remember they bought me maybe a coffee at Barnes and Noble at the Starbucks after I taught a class. And they had said, I asked them, I said, oh, well, who else have you worked with? And kind of a red flag is they said they've never done this before. So it's not the worst thing, but they didn't, you know, you want somebody who can just point out, like, here's my references. I've worked with this person and this is what happened. I work with this person and this is what happened. But my philosophy a lot and what you and I work on together, it's like, okay, there's something here. I don't want to work with them. It's not a good deal for me right now, but let's you and I talk about it and brainstorm and research and see what we can figure out.
Yeah. To backtrack a little bit, YouTube, getting you on YouTube was like probably one of the biggest things that you did. And that was such a frustrating time because you can't call Google. You can't call YouTube when you have a problem. And we had such a problem of publishing or getting your channel monetized, filling out these forms and all this stuff. But I think a little bit of it is you're very excited. You know, you want to get going. You're very motivated. And you whip through the forms sometimes or whatever. And I don't know if that was the deal, but I want to go back to when we were making producing the website with iWeb. So back on a Mac in 2009.
Well, we use the Apple apps. Yeah, we use them 150%. I mean, I should have done commercials for Apple because we used everything they had. We squeezed them dry.
Yeah, the iDVD, iWeb. But we would what was my point? We were using iWeb to produce a storefront. And that was really tricky to figure out and how to keep track of orders and to get the YouTube up and running. There was all these forms, but on iWeb, we also got into podcasts. So this isn't really your first podcast. You did some podcasts with Apple and you actually did it from the MacBook Pro. And I remember one time you called me and I think you were in Montana and you're one of your vacation spots.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't know what happened. I lost the podcast.
Broke
channel.
The link.
And I'm like, I was looking at it. I'm like, you put like 5 exclamation points.
Oh, I know. Oh, anyway, you do. I didn't know any of this. I mean, how would I know? I put one or a few exclamation points because I guess I wanted to shout something on there and it broke the link. Done. It severed the link, so I couldn't upload any new videos to the podcast. I mean, that's the thing. That's how you trial and error. No one told us this. I don't know where I'd find this out, but we went in so deep into these things, so there was no turning back. What do we do now? How do we restore this link? And I remember I was sitting outside of my condo. Jilly was just watching TV, probably wondering, what the hell is he doing? And I was getting bit by mosquitoes, but I was obsessed with that podcast. I was so excited about it. I think that's why I like Columbo so much, the TV show Columbo. It's like, I get obsessed with these things. And poor Stefan, who I'm speaking with right now, he has to, you know, I call him up and it's like, oh my God, you know, help me. And I picture you just kind of rubbing your head and going, okay, let's take a deep breath and let's, you know, which is, that's good for me because I get kind of a little emotional about it, and you're like more technical. You're like, okay, let's take a step back and we'll fix it. And you always do it. You know, you're so good at that.
Yeah, I'll never forget going, wait a minute. Did you change something and put exclamation points. You're like, yeah, I'm excited. I'm like, well, there it is. You can't do that. And I remember you getting defensive. I'm like, no, it's okay. It just breaks it.
Yeah, you okay can't tell excited. Me not to do yeah. exclamation points. I've gone off that a little bit. I think on Seinfeld, what was yeah. it? Top of the muffin to ya.
To ya.
Yeah. It's like, you don't need the exclamation point. It was probably like, hey, welcome to my podcast.
Well, what do I do with all these muffin stumps? Well, you throw them away. You can't get rid of them. But I think our relationship going back to first, second grade, since we know each other so well, I kind of, you know, that gives me an advantage. You talk to any other, you go to a technical person, be like, hey, what's wrong with this? You know, it'd probably take them a really long time. Maybe take me 20 minutes to go, okay, he's passionate. Ah, he used too many exclamation points. Oh, there it is.
You got to handle the emotional talent.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So I think that's why we work so well together is our long history. We know each other's personalities.
Oh, of course. Well, I mentioned earlier, you know, I've known you since first grade. We went to separate kindergartens. Now, this is in West Salem.
Rival schools. It was like the Jets versus the Sharks.
Oh, yeah. It's like Michigan and Ohio State. Jets and the Sharks. That's right. The Capulets and the Montagues in Romeo and Juliet. I was Mrs. Miller, and you were Mrs. Green?
Mrs. Green. Peggy Green.
Peggy Green. Yeah, this was in, West Salem, Wisconsin. Because I moved to West Salem, our family did, from Southern California, from Manhattan Beach in 79. So this was actually, quote, Berry Mills. It's a little township outside of West Salem. But, yeah, they're only, like, what, 2 miles apart, these kindergartens?
Yeah, and they're actually homes.
They're homes now.
Old school homes. Like, you know, they're bigger than in the average home. But I think people live in them now as homes.
They do.
They still exist, which is a testament to the building.
Well, they're brick.
Yeah, it's all brick. Yeah, the Scandinavians or the Germans probably.
The Germans or the Norwegians built those.
Yeah,
and what did we do there a little over a year ago, about 100 yards from my kindergarten? What event did we have?
Oh, we had the class reunion. We how many years was that?
Oh,
25.
Uh-huh.
25.
Quarter of a century. And I remember I said that, I'm like, there's the kindergarten is right over there. I mean, half the people there I probably went to kindergarten with there. We made stone soup and ants on a log, which your son, Brock, he loves to eat those.
That's his favorite snack, but he likes it with trail mix. He's a weirdo.
He should be in Colorado, trail
That's
mix.
That's right. He's playing Fortnite right now for all the Fortnite fans with his buddies upstairs.
Oh, and one more thing about Brock is that I am very honored. I am Brock's godfather. I am the godfather of Brock.
Yeah, he's the godfather. He's the buck stops with you.
We got to get him in a video. Like if the family comes to visit us out here, yeah. That'd be a lot of fun.
He just got a haircut today, and he was asked to be the barbershop boy model.
Nice.
And I know they were joking. I'm like, what does he get? And they give him a free root beer. I'm like, well, you got to start somewhere.
Hey, what kind of root beer?
A&W.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, that's all right.
Is he more of a Hansel or a Zoolander?
I think he's more of a Hansel.
He's blonde, right?
He's blonde, yeah. And okay. He's kind of more of a free spirit that way. But it was kind of funny because he didn't know what I was doing. I'm like, well, what do you get for being a male model? I was like so taken back. Like, wait a minute, this could be big things.
Big stuff.
Yeah. Big stuff. The haircut.
Gotta keep an eye on like us.
Or Seinfeld. We love Seinfeld. We gotta put that out. We love Seinfeld. Watched it for many years. Mm. And the episode where Kramer, that's my personality. When they're sitting in the lawyer's office and they're saying, we're willing to give you all the free coffee. And you jump right in and be like, I'll take it.
I'll take it.
I'll take that free
root
beer.
Who told you to take it?
There could be something after the free root beer, like, you know, $10 off the haircut. But I don't know. I just took the free root beer. So
yeah, right when you said that, I just took a sip of my coffee. It's like some Pavlovian thing or something. Yeah, I got to take a sip of my coffee.
Well, everyone that's listening should take a drink or whatever they have.
Exactly. You know, I think people know I do quote Seinfeld. You know, you and I Simpsons. Love the movies. Yeah, Simpsons, Seinfeld. Well, yeah, you're a Columbo guy. I've got you into some Columbo, a little Car 54.
Oh, Car 54 is fantastic. I grew up watching the Munsters, so If I had known about Car 54, I probably would have watched both of them.
Yeah, if you haven't heard of that show, anyone, if anyone's still listening, hopefully maybe a couple people, they have it on while they're watching TV. look up Car 54, Where Are You? It's a. I used to watch it. It was on Nick at Night when we were in high school. This is like late 80s, early 90s. It shared an hour. It was Car 54 and then the Monkees, or vice versa. And I would always go up to my room. I'd lay on my right side in my bed because the TV was there, and I'd watch those two shows. And I was like, where have you been all my life? Car 54 and the Monkees too, which is a lot of fun. And going back, we mentioned a little bit before, like home videos. I mean, you know, you're talking about the camcorder in Back to the Future. We have, actually my mom still has it at her house. So, you know, my dad never was really one big one with the trends, you know, like the lawyer with the cape on Seinfeld.
Yeah, he's a Renaissance man.
But in 1977, we were still living in Manhattan Beach in California, he bought a VCR. I mean, there's probably just a handful of people back then who purchased VCRs. A lot of people listening, do you know what a VCR is? It plays VHS tapes. And this was like a real manual one. You would actually push the button down like on an old tape recorder. So we were actually, you know, we weren't really big on the trends like technology, but we got the VCR. And then my dad purchased a camcorder like in the early 80s. And I think it was mainly to film my hockey games, which my sister and her boyfriend, Scott, used to film. And you were in those too. You had a red helmet. Yeah, again, helmet. We're keeping with that theme of red.
Well, the best use I think of that home video recorder was, besides our home movies, was the 6th and 8th grade parties. The two parties that we had were amazing because you look back at that. I have a daughter that's in 8th grade and my son is going into 4th. So that 6th to 8th grade window, it's so interesting to
that
see
is
yourself
such
back
a,
at that time.
Like every it's day really is so different. It's like, oh, someone else hit puberty. Someone else did this. You know, I mean, everyone's changing like so fast.
Everybody's voice is so high.
Yeah.
And that 6th grade video. And everyone's so tiny. The boys are so much smaller than the girls in 6th grade. It's quite something. We had a kissing booth.
Right. Oh, man. Well, the 6th grade
one.
My
first girlfriend, Amy Olson. Nelson Steiger. Yes.
Can we say names? I don't want, you know, now the paparazzi is going to be outside her house, wherever she lives. I don't know where she lives, but the old kissing booth, the 6th grade, I've posted that online because all the boys, we were all there. We all parted our hair down the middle and we had the button up shirt. So I had like the movie 16 Candles, Anthony Michael Hall, he wears that kind of yellowish button-up shirt at the dance.
He looked exactly like
him. I looked like him a little bit. All right, yeah. I knew you'd come around. He's dancing and everything. So that was me. You, some of the guys had Hawaiian shirts.
The priority of your life. No, I had a dress shirt on. I don't know why we all wore dress shirts. That was weird. But Chris, our friend, had a nice Hawaiian shirt on.
The Hawaiian shirts were in also. And we lip synced. The first one was "We Built This City" by Starship.
Rock Me Amadeus,
and we're all playing tennis rackets. It's online. I can put links below this.
I think you can in the description, kind of like YouTube. I think
okay.
I don't know how to do it. We'll have to figure that out.
Like we're still in the opening stages of this podcast, but so what? You know, let's experiment and have a good time with it. What I'd like to put the link because I did post snippets from that party. My dad was filming, you know, Mr. Bob, and you can hear him a little bit. He always got the camera out, and we were all just performing. And then the girls started showing up, and by Rock Me Amadeus, the second song we lip synced, they were all sitting on the couch. So, of course, we were really performing then. I remember I came running in and dove and did a somersault. I was playing my tennis racket, I was actually playing chords. You know, I knew a little bit about guitars and didn't know any of the lyrics. Most of the lyrics are Auf Deutsch in German, which I understand now. But back then, you're just kind of saying, you know, watermelon, watermelon, peas and carrots. But remind me, Stefan, I'll put that link below if anyone wants to see it.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. We should put some links also to some of the equipment we used in the beginning, referencing to probably to like a Wikipedia entry or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, well, the flip, you know, it's kind of extinct now. Technology moves so quickly. that it becomes like a whisper after a while, like, oh, a flip, I heard about those. And you know, that's how it goes. Because I was just home in Wisconsin and you came to visit, and my mom, she still has her old Commodore 64 in the attic.
Yes, I so want to like unearth that thing. I've really gone back to retro computing. I've got all these old computers now. I can't do anything with them other than like word processor and a spreadsheet, but I don't know, something about simplicity. I love
and floppy disks.
It's like a tool. It's like a carpenter that has a tool. You know, you have a hammer, a screw. I like having a purpose for something versus your phone is everything. You know, like
a lot of times, you know, it's the technology is wonderful, but it can, myself included, it makes me feel unappreciative sometimes because you expect it. And like the Commodore was wonderful. It had floppy disks, and I remember playing Racing Destruction Set, which was a popular game, and you would load it and plan it, and you just kept having to flip the floppy disk over. It'd probably
Didn't
take 10 minutes to load.
Game?
Yeah, it was called
Karateka or something.
Was it Karate or Kung Fu? No, Kung Fu was a different game. That was for the
Isn't
Nintendo.
That like Karateka?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think I remember like playing that at your house.
Oh, it was so fun. And he actually, it was such a thrill because this was the 80s. They would actually almost talk. You would kick the opponent in the stomach and the opponent would go, "Err!" Well, and I thought that was so neat.
I'm not sure if I'm technically correct on this, but the Commodore 64 was one of the first computers to actually have a sound chip in it. A sound card that would emit the, because the Atari 2600 didn't have it. And that was the big thing for the Nintendo, going back to our childhood when the NES came out, the sound.
Yeah.
It was just amazing. If you play, like, if anybody watches The Big Bang Theory, I think Amy tries to seduce Sheldon with all his vices. And one of them is a little dinner music, and she plays it from her iPod, and it's the theme to Mario Brothers.
Oh, that's intoxicating. Whenever I hear that theme, I think of jumping.
I know. It's boing, boing, boing.
Exactly.
But to reference the Commodore 64, there's actually a whole online presence of people that are really going back to that stuff and kind of dusting them off and playing the games and having fun with it.
You know, everything we have now, like anything, especially in technology, they stand on the shoulders of other giants. You know, everything spawns off of something else. Big Bang Theory, you just mentioned. I love that because they're Sheldon and Leonard are like our generation. I mean, I think the other guy's a little younger, but so many of the references are things that we grew up with. Like, remember, they're at the Cheesecake Factory. Sheldon is his virtual presence because he doesn't want his body to decay. So he's at home in bed, but he has this kind of robot. And then he looks over and he sees Steve Wozniak. And, you know, they talk about Wozniak. He created the first PC, didn't he? The first home computer?
The first Apple, yep.
Made out of wood, I believe.
Yeah, no, there's anybody that's interested, I'll put a link to.
Oh, we're going to have so many links.
I know. To Woz and Steve Jobs and their mischievous years around their high school time. And some of the stuff they did was fantastic.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, we have all what we have today because of them. We were talking about, you know, home videos. I mean, when I say I did home videos, I mean, I did hundreds of hours of home videos with that camcorder. Halfway through, you know, there was probably a pocket of a few years there where I would film either, you know, by myself. I'd create TV shows by myself and then lip sync things, or when somebody would come over just to play or come over to, you know, do sleepovers. It's like, well, if you're going to stay overnight, you're going to film with me. You're going to be a guest on my show. I believe it's called the Slime Show.
Sign this release form.
I know. One of the lights just fell. That's okay. It missed you. But I have all this great footage of, you know, doing films, and everybody was really good. Sometimes you never knew how somebody was going to be. Like, they're really good friends of yours. They're a lot of fun, but all of a sudden you hit record on that camera. I was like, well, what are you going to do? But most people, they had a great time with it.
Oh, absolutely. And to think about, we never had a script. You never rehearsed anything. You really, it was just ad libbing. It's like, whose line is it anyway, or something like that. Mm-hmm. You had a very loose, you know, whatever was in the room, you kind of just went with it.
Well, everything would always end every segment, if it was with another guy, with punching each other, wrestling, or shooting each other, because I had cap guns. you know, bang, you know, cap guns, or we had swords, or even the microphone I used, my sister, she had, it was like this oversized pencil and it had the eraser on the top. So I used that. So eventually you're, you know, you're hitting each other with the pencil. And if we filmed outside, we lived out, this is out in Wisconsin, out in the country, there was a big hill on our property. So it always ended with us throwing each other off the hill and rolling down. And then, it, you know, it went from kind of structure to chaos. I still have that urge in the workout videos, because workout videos are, you know, they're pretty structured. There's spontaneity in them. But then at the end, that's when you could just kind of explode. Like, I'll put footage in of Addy attacking me, or I'll just throw something random in there. You know, I like that. It's kind of a release valve after all the work.
Well, it's kind of like all how the Westerns ended.
Yep. Well, then you just rode off after. Either, yeah. Yeah. Towards the end, there was a shootout, and then you ride off like in High Noon.
Yeah, it was a big buildup and the cap gun shootout.
I think, you know, because I did professional theater for so long, my videos always follow a similar arc, and they're parallel with the arc of a, you know, an opera or a musical or something. It's kind of similar.
Yeah, may I say that you were destined, though, to be behind the camera, I think. I don't know if your dad...
Behind it or in front of it?
Always in front of it, but you were destined for a life with being in front of a camera. I really, looking back at our childhood, you were always the one that, you know, came up with most of the ideas and just was a natural on camera. Most people got nervous or overacted. Like, I usually overacted or didn't know what to say.
No,
you always had something go. You know, you were just like, when the camera was on, you were a natural. it was a good fit for you.
Well,
to
thank you.
From a fitness instructor, which I took one of your classes as a spin student. That was fantastic in Florida. That was a lot of fun. When was
Oh,
that?
In Florida. Was that like one of my first ones, right?
Was that like 2009, 2008?
I taught spin before I did anything else. I mean, I was personal training, of course, but I taught spin before I ever taught yoga or Pilates, anything like that.
So that was even before that, but that was a lot of fun.
Oh, that was
we got you into
fun.
Mini discs. That's when that was the whole mini disc craze.
Oh, the mini! I'm still obsessed with mini discs.
Was that Rhapsody? Uh-huh. So I got you into Rhapsody, and then recording onto mini discs to make all these great spin mixes.
Oh, I have hundreds of them. Hundreds.
Yeah, you do. I sold you my whole entire mini disc collection.
I know. They're right up in the loft. Like, I'm sitting downstairs, but our house is very open. I can almost see. I have stacks of them. Full of whatever, you know, spinning mixes, workout mixes, walk mixes, or anything new that comes out. I think, you know, I'm looking to maybe buy a new car, and we were talking about that. I'd like to maybe get a mini disc player put in there.
That'd be amazing. I'd love to see the technician be like, you got a brand new car here, put this in.
And the 8-track.
It's like a Betamax, if anybody knows what a VCR is, the Betamax to the, you know, mini disc to the CD or the tape. It was so... Not many people had them, but they were far superior. It was really cool.
Like, well, it's kind of like the Zoom, right? Wasn't that the Microsoft answer to the iPod?
Oh, the Zune. Zune.
Zune. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Not like Zoom, but yeah, Zoom. Yeah, that kind of flopped. That was. I think that's what Sheldon. Doesn't Sheldon get a Zune? I think he does.
Oh, I don't
There's
know.
A whole episode where he can't decide between an Xbox or a PS4. And he loses it. And he's like, well, I don't trust myself. I bought a Zune.
That's right.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Such good writing on that show. I love it.
Good show.
If you haven't watched it, check it out.
And, yeah, I'm thinking maybe I want to do more chats with you. Definitely. Because, yeah, I mean, absolutely. I'm looking at my notes here. There's like 40 other things I wrote down.
Oh, yeah, and we have so many episodes lodging here. But this was a good intro. People know you. You have an online presence. A little background of how you got there was great.
Well, I want to bring you in there too, because I mean, I can't do any of this without you. I'm always like, thank God for Stefan. You're an excellent friend. Always an excellent friend.
That's likewise.
Well, thank you very much. And
I can be your Ed McMahon. Isn't that what he does? Heyo.
Heyo. Well, then you'd have to go host Star Search.
Oh, that. Ooh, well, you never know. Star Search 2020.
And what you just said, that's a good way to kind of tie off this podcast, this episode, is you talked about Sheldon with the Zune, not following the trends. And you and I have always talked about that. I'm like, I don't want to really jump into like what everyone else is doing. I like to see what else is out there, kind of, you know, on the fringes, always on the fringes a little bit, like taking something and seeing if it can work for something else that it hasn't really been done for. Like we mentioned that with iWeb, with the DVDs, with the flip, you know, all those kind of things.
How about the like Pilata, you know, taking other philosophies of different stuff and kind of making something up. That's fun stuff. I love that. I got very excited about that.
I mean, that's a whole chapter right there. Pilata is my own creation, and it's a combination of Pilata, Tabata, Pilates core work. Basically, you know, stuff that I film all the time. It's just branding it, you know, putting a name behind it. Pilata is what? Pilates, Tabata, you know, all those words kind of put together.
Yeah.
And I, you know, some of you listening have maybe done some. I do film them occasionally, and they're always very well received.
They're tough.
Oh, that's a whole other thing. I remember I filmed those and I put them on DVDs. I sold a lot of those because, you know, we even talked, you know, one road we kind of went down is how do we get an infomercial going? Because, I mean, we always think, we never think, oh, we can't do that. We always think, well, let's see what's out there. And, you know, by my fear, my not fear, but my sheer force of will, you know, and your technical know-how and everything. I mean, it's a dynamite combo. And even if it doesn't happen, we talked about this before, it leads us to something else or maybe many other things.
Well, we have fun doing it. I think that's the biggest takeaway. Exactly. We've always had a good time doing it. And our infomercial would probably be on like an UHF, the Weird Al show or something. Like, no, hear from our sponsors.
The biggest ball of twine in Minnesota.
Oh, Red Snapper.
That's very tasty. Oh, that's okay. We will jump. Every topic is, you can just flesh that out. There's like 20 subtopics underneath it. But awesome, Stefan. This has been, I was so excited to do this because we've been talking about doing a podcast for years, and then the Anchor app came along, and it's like, it's, you know, it's timing, good timing. Like I want to do this.
Yeah.
I always wanted to have you as the first guest because we, you know, it's such a great way to talk about and share, you know, I get these questions a lot, share how all this stuff happened and how it continues to happen.
Yeah. And it's just hit looking at the Anchor app, by the way, thanks Anchor for making such an easy great platform.
It's quite
something. We're at the 42 minute mark, and I think that's a good place to end it. I think we were shooting between 45 minutes and 30 minutes. So we kind of hit the sweet spot right there.
Exactly. And you know, this is practice, and you know, like anything, you think, okay, I'm starting a podcast. How are we going to do this? I said, well, I'm passionate about these topics, and so are you. There's no problem. We have a conversation about it.
Yeah, and I think for the future guests, you talked about having people that have influenced you or been in your life that are also either watching your videos or have seen your videos, and you can go back and forth on something like that. And I thought that was an interesting take.
Oh, the sky is the limit. You know, yeah. I think as long as it ties into something with my fitness brand and stuff, but that's a testament to how, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody who's quote a fitness instructor. It can be a mentor, a teacher, somebody that, you know, like you, like a best friend.
Right.
I could put Addie on here and she'll just huff and growl for a while. She's a big influence.
Very
Addie's
good.
My dog.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on the first podcast. It was, I was honored. And,
well, thank you for being on. And let me say, we're setting up the iTunes account and the Google Play. So those are forthcoming, you know, thank All God right. for Stefan. He'll help me with those. Cause I'm like, huh? So, and, you know, we could probably get this out there right away on Facebook. Cause you know, we'll get graphics and everything later on. I want to start doing it. I love the momentum we have. Just start going, sharing,
throw it out there. See if it sticks.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much, my good man. You'll definitely be on again. As I said, you know, we'll just keep these coming out there, and you can listen if you want, or just hit, you know, I'll skip to the next one. But it's, thanks. But thank you to everyone out there for listening. And people can leave comments. Wherever you're listening is from, you know, leave comments. You can rate the app and share it on. We really appreciate that.
Yeah. All right. Well, take care.
All right. Talk Thanks, to you Stefan. Soon. And we'll see you all later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.